Welcome to Prague Will Find a Way, your friendly neighborhood podcast all about progressive rock. I'm Jay Valade.
And I'm Jonathan Block. And been a lot of podcasts on Emerson, Lake & Palmer's classic album, Love Beach, lately.
Which is kind of funny.
It is kind of funny. So we figured we'd get into the fray with that. I'm not sure if this is going to be, I will be defending the indefensible, right?
And I'll be just agreeing with everybody else.
Well, traditionally, you could actually get Spinal Tapish about it, right? Like the one, like the review shouldn't, the review should have been, shit beach, right? but we can get into all that. What people seem to forget, is that the album came out in November of 1978. By the end of January 1979, it had been certified gold. It had sold 500,000 copies. And however, grab yours.
So I have a feeling. I am right now taking, for those of you listening and not watching, I have my vinyl copy of Love Beach, which, of course, I bought as a cutout.
Yes.
Because
So that's always the age-old question. How many copies did they actually sell that did not get returned?
Right.
However you slice it, this album sold pretty well for what it was.
Yeah, I think that ELP was still at that, and everyone kind of says that punk killed Prague, but at the end of the 70s, Prague was still doing a good business. Yeah. I mean, ELP was still, they didn't go live for this album, but they were, stadiums for the 77 tour, right? Of works, right? And Yes was still doing their In the Round stuff, and Genesis was actually bubbling up and becoming this major touring act. So, and Floyd, of course, was, The Wall had not even come out yet. So there was still all of that happening.
But Floyd's the only one who could go 2-3 years between albums and no one said anything. That's the norm now, right? I mean, a lot of these bands, it's just simple burnout. That's why people left. Yeah. It was like they couldn't, either you couldn't take a break, you had to quit or break up the band. It's
I think John and I were talking about this before that, ELP had run its course at the end of the Works tour,
ended in March of 1978. So they had toured almost close to a year, and not just Volume One, then Volume Two came out as well.
But Volume Two was really like an odds and sods, right? It was like
it was
in pieces.
It was also like I think the first like we're not talking. Yeah, we have this album here as well,
Volume Two.
I may make some comparisons to that when talking about this album, because it's not like Love Beach just dropped out of the sky.
Yeah, but I think Works Volume 2 was less I think that was, to me, it looked more like a record company compilation than it was a band.
Right, because it was singles as well. It was almost like a Living in the Past, Jethro Tull Living in the Past. It was like some unreleased stuff and singles that had come up but were never anything like Tiger in the Spotlight and the song Brain Style Surgery.
And Father Christmas is on there, too.
Christmas is on there, and the B-side to Brain Style Surgery, When the Apple Blossoms, blah, 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 that tune. So a lot of good songs on there, but we're not here to talk about Works, too. We're here to talk about Love Beach. So as Jay was saying, Works tour ends in 78. They want to take a break. Amit Ergin from Atlantic is like, can you guys just get us another album? And by the way, you have one more album on your contract, and we want it this year. Yeah. And could you make it commercial? So then the story's like, Keith's just like, I'm going to stop pushing against this. Greg can have his album side. So Greg got his album side. There's a lot of stuff around this album. Then they want to be tax exiles. So they go to Bahamas, right? And then the manager of ELP is like, calls up Pete Sinfield and was like, hey, the guys are here. And at this point, apparently Pete and Greg are not really getting along too well. But anyways, he gets some money and a free trip. So he's like, sure, but I have to work alone,
Oh, I don't know any of this.
Yeah. But he gets there and they're barely talking to each other.
So did Sinfield write all the lyrics or was it
I think Greg may have given him some stuff and it may have gone back and forth, but he wrote predominantly a lot of the lyrics or at least tarted them up. Yeah, there's certainly the lyrics on side one. He did all the lyrics for Keith's piece for side two.
Yeah.
But there's parts of pieces on side one where it's like that's definitely
Well, and
Sinfield.
it's credited to him, right? It's
It's,
Lake
yeah.
Sinfield, Lake Sinfield, Lake.
Yeah. Everything Sinfield Lake, you
But
know?
the
The
lyrics
lyrics
to
are.
me are the worst part of this album.
And you are fully correct. And to quote Keith Emerson, the lyrics are gross. They're gross.
They're
I
just
mean,
they're
and I don't mean that in Modern Sensibilities. This came out. My brother bought this album when it came out, the week of Thanksgiving. He was home for college. We listened to it. I heard it the day it came out, and I was 14 or 15. And so, you know, and I some of these lyrics, I'm like, I mean, you're 14 or 15 years old. At some point, you're like, ooh, I want to play my albums for my girlfriend or whatever the girl. I'm like, and seriously, I remember this clear day. I'm like, I can't play this for. I said this to my brother. I'm like, I can't play any of this for a girl. Like, what are they doing? You know, it's embarrassing.
it's the
It's
worst.
embarrassing. And I've played around with, you know, the juxtaposition with that is like musically, I think the album is great. Well, great's too strong of a word. However, to
It
me,
is.
this is Carl Palmer's best drum performance, both in his performance and the recorded sound. He sounds
Really?
amazing on this, and he does some wild stuff on this album that he never does. I want to interview Carl Palmer just to find out what was going through his head, because he does some fills and some stuff in here that he never repeated. Like he was just in some kind of zone.
He
I
was
don't
in
know if it was because of
the Bahamas and the steel
like.
drum
It
bands.
could have been. No, but he there's something about his. I just think, besides the album, if you have any of the CD releases, or if you listen to the album streaming, there were two remasters that came out.
Yeah, I listened to
One,
the 2017 that had all these extra
yes,
mixes.
well, there's actually one from 2011
Okay.
that had two of the same tracks on that, but had a rehearsal version of Taste of My Love that they didn't put on the later remaster, which is a bummer because there's no lyrics and there's a whole middle section that didn't make it to the
Got
album.
it.
And you're like, oh my gosh, okay, well, maybe just have that as an instrumental. It would have been great. There's so many minor tweaks. Because I've listened to this album since it came out and always wanted it to be more than it was. I've always toyed around in my head with like different track listings.
Yeah.
And I got to the point where I was like, okay, I can't bring anything external on. I can't chop things up. Because the other thing is on the second side, even though it's a full long suite, it's got its own problems. However, one of my favorite ELP moments is that instrumental bit in Letters from the Front, which is the best thing on this album by light years.
Truthfully, the instrumental parts I don't have any issue with, except for some of the keyboard sounds. We were listening to it in the car prior to this with my wife and I, and she goes, "What is this? The Disney nighttime parade?"
Yeah.
on the water where beep beep boop beep beep beep. I'm like, it kind of sounds like that.
Or when he does the, you know, when what's it's got to be, you know, taste of my, you know, get on your stallion, and then he does the like trumpeting.
And then when he does
I know.
the Asian sounds in the back,
I
I'm
know, I know.
like,
Well, that whole song is problematic. We can get into that song individually, but you're right. Well, and you started hearing that in Works. He went off the Moogs. I mean, he went to the Yamaha. He went to that big Yamaha GX something
it was
that
the
did.
sound of the day,
Yeah,
right?
but
But it's
it's
a little,
farty. The farty sounds. There's a lot of farty sounds. But he used a lot of those sounds throughout his career. The other interesting thing about this is that Greg and Carl finished their parts and they left. They bolted. Greg had, I mean, Keith finished the album.
Oh, he did.
So, and when you hear some of those rehearsal tracks from those remasters, none of those weird affectational sounds are on there. He put that on after,
Okay.
because those rehearsal tracks are
Better.
so much better, you know? And they're,
I don't like the production. I don't like
yeah.
the sound. I don't like the lyrics. Greg Lake's vocals are overwrought. They're just like they're
Man.
too it I and even just the memoirs, I the thought of it, I think when I first listened to it way back when I got this album, I was like, it's kind of a cool like thing, but it sounds a little too Broadway and not Yeah. But not successful.
Right.
Broadway.
To your Greg being over the top, definitely side two. I actually don't think he's over the top on side one. And on side two,
what was Gambler is the only song on this album that I like because it reminds me of their fun stuff from
Jeremy Bender, right. The Sheriff, right. Benny the Bouncer.
That's the only
lineage I like. All right, let's start getting.
Wait, but before we get there.
Oh, yes, of course. Now, unfortunately, on the podcast, you won't see this, but...
if you're working on YouTube...
Yeah, if you purchase the album in the day, you could then get yourself...
You could get yourself Love Beach gear. Yeah.
A nice track suit.
Shirts. We got a custom made-to-order satin jacket. We got some black T-shirts.
The shorts, by the way, shorts. Those are okay. So the real shorts, like we're talking,
they're the jogging shorts from 1978.
What Dukes of Hazzard, man, Daisy Dukes, right? That's what they're called. But yeah, so
who wouldn't want these?
Yeah,
I mean, they have to be collector's items at this point.
I don't know. I never got mine. You know,
Love Beach shorts. Are you kidding me?
Well, it's the funny thing though is that then they have the album, but they have the prices. So your satin jacket, the T-shirt was $6.50. Now the satin jacket was not cheap; that was $70. And the jogging shorts were $7.50. You sent your money to Manticore, their management company, somewhere in Illinois.
I wonder if you got anything.
I don't know.
Then inside they had the spread of the ELP catalog at that point.
Yep.
Without Works Volume 2.
And you know what? Their catalog is small. Like they didn't have a ton. I mean, they were definitely one of my favorite bands growing up, and I still love them, even though I find a lot of stuff about them problematic these days. But there's something about this album only because I've listened to it. And musically, like I said, because I remember in the day, Letters from the Front was the only thing, in The Gambler. So yeah. I had to get a tape deck, and then I'd get the record, and I'd wait for it to get right before then. And then
to make a mixtape?
And get it before Greg Lake started singing Letters. But yes, the lyrics are the worst thing. The cover... part two is the cover is the second thing. However, in the day I put it on cassette and never looked at the cover again. Yeah. So
the cover is for those of you,
who've never seen the album.
It's as if the Bee Gees, came to inhabit the
funny thing is that they made it worse because they did some airbrushing and stuff. And in one of the remasters, they have a number of photos that are not that way, where they're looking more natural, standing in the water and stuff. It's like, why didn't you use any of those? Like, any of them would have looked
and just the name.
Yeah, well, Keith Emerson was pissed because Atlantic named it. They didn't name it.
Oh, really?
Well, again, Greg and Carl recorded their parts and they left. Keith there's no producer, right? I don't think there's any producer.
All arrangements by?
No producer credit.
Yeah. Engineered by?
Yep. There's a couple of engineers, and Keith put it together with them. The other guys had left town. So that's part of the reason, too, why it's like Keith kind of had final say for a lot of this. I don't know if he did the track listing, but I know because he's in the books about him or prog ones, he's very vocal about Not only did he not, he then, I guess, set up like a booth in an airport to get people's opinions and then sent that to Atlantic, and they didn't care. That's what they were going to call it. They picked one of the names of the songs, and that was that.
Well, what else would you have? Taste of My Love would have been
there's none of them where that really would have worked. Over the years, I've kind of, again, I've come back to, I can only work with what's here, you know, because it's easy. So I've been like, you should have just called it Beach, or Shoreline or something. There could have been a way.
Something, well, not one of the songs.
Yeah, and because Memoirs, that just wouldn't work. When I was younger and I made the alternate track listing that I ended up with, so I'll tell people. Over the years, and I used to call.
If I was in charge,
and I even renamed it. This is when I was a kid. I called it. Is it from or
for you?
No, I would call it letters from the front. That's what I called it. An alternate Love Beach. So Canario starts it. Again, I can only work with what's here. I can't chop things up. So Canario starts it. Then All I Want Is You, which actually I don't think is a bad tune. And lyrically, that's still kind of tame. Then For You, which I also think is a pretty good song.
Yeah.
Then The Gambler. Then Love Beach. Then Taste of My Love has to be last because it's...
By that time, you've hopefully turned it off.
Even Love Beach is, the thing is to your point, like musically, some of the songs are fine. They just get ruined by the lyrics.
But they're also fine.
Right.
They're not like, they're not breaking any new ground musically here to me.
You know, it's funny because if you look at this in the time period, right? Okay, so we got Tormato. You know, it's only 2 years from this point where we get Asia. And like, you know, we hoped for so much and we got that. And I know I've talked to Jay a little about this. In some ways, ELP could have been Asia. Like they just wanted to be away from each other at this point. So yeah. they shot themselves in the foot. They could have toured this. They didn't even have to play more than a couple of the songs. And by the way,
they could have toured it and done what half the bands do now and played two songs.
Exactly. And then no one would have cared. But even though, you know, Greg and Carl hightailed it out of there. I did read that Carl spent 2 months trying to get Greg and Keith to agree on let's tour. Yeah. And he took 2 months, and I guess it was like by February or March I think it was by the middle of the year they were done. And then In Concert came out and blah, blah, blah. But part of the reason for that, I mean, okay, the cover at the time, not good. The lyrics, questionable. But they just abandoned it. You know, I mean, they could have.
They did. But
they
it
could
also,
have.
I don't think it stands up to any of their other stuff.
It's not. You're not going to put. Well, let's not get there. It's certainly. It's a debate whether Love Beach or In the Hot Seat is the worst DLP.
Prior to this.
Oh, of course. Yes. Prior to this.
They had reached a point that.
Nobody will argue that Brain Salad Surgery is their pinnacle. I mean, right. I remember being into them before Works came out.
Well, don't tell me what your favorite is, because still have to do the
ELP. No, I know. No, but then when Works came out, it was still like, oh. You know what I mean? Like, do you remember? Like,
Works later.
But it was the same feeling with Tormato. Like, I had an older brother, so he would get this stuff. So he got Tormato, and I'd be like, oh. Like, you look back on it now, and it's like, okay, well, certainly for the day, it was advanced. But at the time, you were judging it against what had come before, and it was
of
like,
course, yeah.
You know, I mean, the worst example of that is The Wall. So I am not a Wall fan.
Uh-oh.
Well, I'm not waiting for the Pink Floyd
get ready. The comment section.
And I gave it a chance. A friend of mine got it the day it came out. I saw one of the shows at Nassau Coliseum, and it just didn't do anything for me. But we're not talking about Pink Floyd now. Let's get back to... We're not dissing every prog band right now. It's the Love
Beach. Late '70s version. I don't know. I think that I'm an apologist for Tormato, but
you already know Tormato is my number two. Is my number two.
But
you are not an apologist for that.
No,
I am. Well, I'm not an apologist either. I think it's not as bad as people make it out to be.
Listen.
You're not going to pick this up. You are not going to pick this up over any other ELP album.
Let's put it this way. The last time I listened to this was, I don't have the CD of this, was when I bought it as this cutout back when I like listened to it five times back in 1982.
Yeah,
never since. It's been sitting up there unlistened to. And then we talked about let's revisit it. I listened to it like four times in a row over the last couple of days, and I came to the conclusion that there is nothing I like on it.
Okay. I mean, I can objectively look at this and say, of course, like I said, I mean, it's, you know, shit beach, crap beach, whatever you want to call it.
Tar beach.
But, you know, like I said, to me, I'd love to talk to Carl Palmer because I don't know what his feelings are. People ask him about it occasionally. He just gives kind of the 30,000 foot brush off that everybody does. But to me, again, his performance on this album, if you just don't listen to the lyrics and just listen to the drums, I love his sound and the things that he's doing. There are these little accents he does I've never heard him do again.
Well, it needs a Steve Wilson remix situation that He does an instrumental mix of everything.
Exactly, because like you know, I'm sure you've checked him out on YouTube, the, you know, Close to the Edge keyboard only mix or guitar only mix. I want to hear a lot. So Steven, if you're listening, because I know you don't like this album at all. Well, he's not really a big ELP fan. I would love to hear the parts of this album, because it, to me, it's you know, Carl Palmer first, Keith without the farty sounds, actually does some really interesting things on the electric piano,
yes,
the clavinet, and some instruments
but
he didn't really use.
But you can't divorce
use.
Them.
No, you can't. Also, don't forget, there's a lot of, Greg Lake is playing guitar synthesizers, so there's some stuff that might be him. But I was going to say, that was, nobody was doing that. That, you know, he was...
Yeah.
And when you listen to the...
technology-wise,
yeah,
they were like, you know, hitting those points, right?
Yeah,
that doesn't necessarily make that technology good. I think that's one of my issues with Tormato too,
right?
Because I think some of the keyboard sounds on that are pretty wonky.
Well, it's also like, you know, to me, that, even though, again, second favorite album, I love that album, and there's even parts of that I love that I know you're not a fan of, but it almost sounds like, you know, they had a, you know, so they're having a bro down between
Steve Allen
and Rick Wakeman, and it was like, you know, the rest.
Who can play faster and more?
Yeah, because they just, I mean, that's part of what makes the album, because it's not just like, it's not like they're two separate people, but like it intertwines and it kind of lifts up. Anyways, we've talked a lot about Tormato.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to talk just a couple of minutes about the time of this, because like I said, they could have potentially been Asia or something like Asia, because
there was a lot of turmoil
at that
rock
time.
Bands at that time.
But they broke up too soon, because they were really the first ones to break up.
Yes.
But I always thought, you know, and then I've told you this before. When I was a kid, I was always like, oh, I could see, you know, because Carl Palmer was off in Asia, I could see, you know, Emerson Lake with Chris Squire and Alan White. Because on this album, on Love Beach, Greg Lake is totally into playing the guitar. I mean, he plays so much freaking guitar on that. So he would be fine. And I don't think there's anything out there. If anybody knows, please tell us. But there's no examples of Greg and Chris singing together.
No, I don't. That I know of. I think the only interaction Greg has with Yes people is when he was in Asia.
Right. Oh yeah.
As far
right.
as I know.
Yeah. 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 They always seemed a little. It was a different.
I don't
time.
Know. Wakeman always speaks very highly of Emerson and was always like, "We were always trying to get together."
Something. I know. So I know.
That
I know.
That book.
Yeah.
Palmer obviously worked with Yes people.
Yep. And of course, obviously Asia.
Now he's actually touring. He's done some shows with John Anderson now.
Right.
Where the Carl Palmer Experience or whatever it is has been touring with the John and the Band Geeks.
Well, what did you think of Asia and Asia?
I was very excited at the time.
Me too.
Because I already knew that it wasn't my my version of what Prague was.
Right.
Right. But I was still excited at the time that they were getting all this press and all these people that I was interested in were like number one, and MTV's doing this big giant thing about them. And I was like, well, finally, like, the bands that I like are getting some press. Their due, even if it's not my favorite version of the music.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, it was fine.
Yeah.
I'm not a gigantic Asia fan.
I'm not either. But, you know, at the time, like, we've talked about this before, what was there, you know?
Right.
Particularly, I was an ELP fan.
We were lucky that you know, that these people were still playing and getting record deals as far as we were concerned because of the new wave and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really care.
The Moment was not a bad song. And
I wasn't really an Asia fan, but it was interesting to hear Greg because he had a great voice. And
I like Carl's work on that better than I do on this.
Okay. I remember saying at the time
he's
too,
got that, you know, that military beat on this whole album going.
Right. Well, then that snare sound too. It's that very tight high snare sound. Funny thing about Greg Lake though, back to the Asia thing, was like, I remember watching that and being like musicians from that era, it's a different mentality. Like, he didn't have a lot of pride, but he came out there like, it's the show must go on mentality.
Yes.
Like, You could
Yeah,
see he
we've
just came
this
out
is
there.
this
It didn't matter if you knew the songs or not. He would
He owned
he
it.
owned it and he barreled through. And you don't see that as much. Like, it's the whole, they were, Led Zeppelin was sick, but they got on stage and played the best
Yeah,
concert of their life,
but at the same time, it's like, of course he did. I mean,
He didn't want to do it. Like Carl was like, and he's like, I don't really want to do that. And then
yeah,
they threw the money. No, he's like the payday.
the payday and the world stage and simulcast all over the world, and I'm Greg Lake, and come on.
I mean, this isn't the time for it, but they are one band that kind of got in their way. They got in their own way, and they never kind of, they came back in the 90s, and I enjoyed that time. I saw them a number of times. It wasn't the same. But it was a weird time. It's funny, in retrospect, this is so of its time too now,
Well, I think that's what they wanted. The
Right.
record company
That's
wanted
what the
their
record
Pablo Cruz
company,
album or their whatever,
the
you know.
Firefall. I mean, it looks like the back looks like a million other albums, right? I mean, I thought, this could be a Barry Manilow album. You can put anybody on there.
Which is kind of funny because it's so off brand.
You know what the funniest thing? Well, to me, the funniest thing is, so, if you have Apple Music, you know this. They animate a lot of album covers. So they animated this
They
album.
did?
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's like the background coming forward and they're like coming closer to you. And I'm like, no, we
No,
should be having them go
further.
farther away. It's like in the modern age, this album is more palatable because you can't see the cover.
Right, because the cover's only
The
this
cover's
big.
like, what is it?
It's
Is
on the
that
screen.
it's I don't even know if that's them or not, So anyways. So in the at the end I have an attachment to this album because I heard it when it came out, and The Gambler, of course, was the first thing that stuck in my mind. But over the years there's a bit. I still one of my favorite ELP moments is that big instrumental thing before Letters
Yeah.
from the Front. I wish they'd pull that out. It is actually on that remaster you talked about, the
Yeah.
2017.
Yeah.
It's mislabeled as Honorable March,
Yes.
and they call it's just a different mix. There's a few more electric pianos in there. There's a number of but they do pull that bit out, so at least you can hear that. So
Yeah.
I'm a thumbs up. I listen. I still, believe it or not, I still pull it out, and I probably will, over the years, will pull this out more than the John Anderson one we just talked about. There's something about this album that reminds. It's also, I mean, right, there's I listen to this and I remember. I go back and I
Yeah.
remember November,
Well,
whatever
but
the date was, in
that's
79.
sort of more a
It's a
memory,
sentimental
a
or
sentimental.
memory
Yes.
attachment. But
Yes.
again, if I feel like hearing some heavy duty Carl Palmer, I'll throw that on because I think his performance on there is amazing. Love to get some people's comments on what you think of Love Beach. And if you don't like it, are there any redeeming qualities? And
I
if you
know,
do
because for
like it,
me, Prague did not find a way to.
well, apparently not. And if you do like it, what do you like about it? Personally, I'd like to hear some more people give any props to this that they could change it, re-release it. Why did you not do it? So many artists do different covers when they re-release stuff
Right?
in the modern era.
Yeah.
A
Well, did they re-release this?
whole nother tangent, the way that the
You can't.
ELP has handled their
You keep
legacy
talking.
frustrates me to no end.
I know. You talk
Oh
about it.
yeah, that's right.
I
I've
think you
talked
talk about
about
it
this.
every episode,
No,
even if we're not talking about ELP.
I haven't talked about it in a while, but now that I said it, I remember in a lot of the early ones, I would always bring that up. So that's what I mean by they got in their own way.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, look at it's three guys. Rush didn't have a problem. Genesis didn't have a
All
problem.
right, so I have Return of the Manticore, right?
Yeah, I love that
What
box
is
set.
on here from that? Oh, did they do the
Memoirs.
whole
Yeah, they
one?
put Memoirs. Yep.
Okay.
And For You, I think.
Yes.
Yep, For
Oof.
You. For You is one like For You and All I Want Is You. The lyrics are not as
Not as
overboard.
over crazy.
Now, and there's some, even like in Memoirs, some of the lines are, I mean, are throwaway, but some of them like, I'm writing to you from a convoy moving west. It's out. It's
Yeah.
hell out here. We're trying to like everybody can relate to that from our era. Like, you know what they meant.
Oh.
There's a
I think
collective groan across the Prague time
I think that's
admits.
it. It was the
We're done.
ghost,
The
the
ghost
ghost
of
of
Keith
Keith,
Angra.
and Greg saying,
Enough already. Enough already about Love Beach. Why don't you talk about one of our other albums? So
anyway,
that's a good time
Prague
spent.
will find a way
Despite Love Beach?
if you want it to.